The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Okay, good evening. We were in the middle. We're in the Shara Bitochen, in the Psicha, and we're up to after the comparison to the alchemist, couple of the benefits of bitochen, and we're up to the paragraph that begins "Ach to'alos habitochen bo'olam." Says the benefits of bitochen in the world. Mehen menuchas halev min hadeogos ho'olamis, a peace of heart. He doesn't even call it peace of mind as we do. I guess the Chazal understood that peace of mind is only part of the Tuf Pei Aleph in this sense. Peace of mind is only part of it. The heart has to be at peace too. Menuchas halev. The heart feels tranquil and at peace from the worldly worries. The worldly worries are overwhelming. And certainly in our world today, we can relate to the need for some menuchas hanefesh and menuchas halev from the worldly worries. Today we live in a world where we're plagued severely by physical security concerns that are beyond anything that anyone would have imagined, and certainly economic and financial concerns, which are also beyond the pale, the scope of normalcy. And therefore there are worries. People are very, very worried. The mood today in the world is a mood of worry. And the Baal HaBitochin, the one who trusts in Hashem, has this menuchas halev. He has this heartfelt tranquility from the worldly worries. V'hashalvo, and shalvo is like a peace, mi nidnud hanefesh, from the nidnud. Nidnud means the moving back and forth. The nefesh is nudging. There's a certain like discomfort. There's a certain, I just feel uncomfortable. I'm not at peace. I'm back and forth. Something's a tumult inside the nefesh. V'tzaro, and it's pain. V'chesroin ta'aviseho ha'gufiyos, for the lack of the ability to fulfill all of our desires. We have desires, and desires are limited. We can't always fulfill them. And if we have bitochen, then no, nothing to worry about. V'hu b'hashket uvitcho uvishalvo b'ilum hazeh. Hashket, sheket, peace, quiet, trust, and tranquility in this world. As the Pasuk says, Boruch hagever asher yiftach Hashem v'yo Hashem yiftachoy. That person who puts trust in Hashem is blessed, and Hashem is the source, the pillar of his bitochen, and that, of course, gives him the strength. Then he adds at the end, he brings another posuk, and then he adds, "Umehen menuchas hanefesh mileches badrochim horachoykim." There's another menuchas hanefesh, and that is from traveling, going far away. Asher hi mechala hagufis umemaheres hashlomas yimeachayim. The travel, I guess they're talking about a type of travel which maybe was more difficult in those days, but people who traveled the road, maybe they walked, you know, long distances, it devours the body, and it brings on more speedily the end of one's life. You know, in Yiddish there's an expression, it's dagate de yorum. It causes the years to go by more quickly. And inu v'derech koichi kitzar yomai, the posuk says, the inui, the pain of the derech, takes out the strength, and it shortens the days. V'nema alechem min ha-perushim, and it's said about one of the perushim, tzadikim, porush, mi tanuge elam hazeh, ki holach el eretz rechoiko, he went to a distant land, levakish ha-terech betchilas prishosoi. In the beginning of his prishus, he went far away to search out parnosa over there. Upoga odom echod, and he met a non-Jew, an idol worshipper, in the city that he went to. Omar lo haporush. The porush said to him, "Kama atem betachlis o ivorin, umiyut haavone ba'avodaschem la kichovim." He says, "You guys are so blind and so lacking understanding and intelligence in your service of stars, in your idol worship. He says, what about you? What do you serve? He says, I serve the Creator, the capable, the one who sustains, the one, and he provides all of our needs, and there's no one like him. Your actions contradict your words. How do my actions contradict my words? If what you said was true, that you serve the Creator and the All-Powerful and the one who takes care of everyone's parnosa and sustenance, then he would be able to sustain you and give you a parnosa in your city just as he gives you when you travel a long distance to get the parnosa. Why'd you have to travel far away? your actions are contradicting this lip service to greatness of a Creator that you serve. You wouldn't have to come to this faraway place because that same Creator could sustain you in your place. And the Porush ended the discussion and he went home. No point. What am I traveling? What am I worried? What am I running about? He was accepted the precious, but he didn't go out from the city at all after that. Now, I wanted to take a few moments here to discuss this in a little bit more in depth. The need for menuchas halev min hadogos or olomius, and for the shalva from the nidud hanefesh, and the whole matzav in which we find ourselves. Today we certainly are in need of some formula for reducing the nervousness, reducing the pain, stopping the worry. People are losing sleep at night day after day. The financial losses are staggering. Some of the numbers that we hear are just unbelievable. Some of the numbers that we hear that people lost, we never had any inkling that they ever had such numbers. And the truth of the matter is, maybe they didn't. You know, it was all on paper in a sense. But the concern, the recent situation that took place in India, and security is a concern to everybody today. Tragedy. And certainly, the financial insecurity is something that's uppermost in people's minds. So I wanted to suggest, and I'm looking actually each session to try to come up with some practical advice that can help us deal with these issues. And oftentimes you find such advice in the parsha. And in this parsha that we're going to read, this Shabbos in Parshas Vayetze, we find that Yaakov Avinu is turning to Hashem, and he has a tefillah that he offers as he's leaving his parents' home and leaving because of his concern of Esav being out to get him. And he says, "Im yeli kimi modi ushmarani baderach asher asher anochi heilech v'nosan li lechem lechol v'eged lilboish v'shavti v'sholom v'beis ovi v'hoyo Hashem li lelukim." He goes on, he says, if Hashem will be with me, and he will remove from me dangers and pain that people inflict upon me, and he will protect me from the shepherds out there that rise up to try to harm me, and he will give me lechem lechol. He won't allow me to fall to dikduke anius, to fall to the depths of poverty, so I shouldn't have what to eat. And I will be able to come back to my father's house free of all sickness. And he'll protect my health, he'll protect my parnosa, and he'll protect my security from the dangers and the elements that be. And this is really the three major issues that we are concerned with today. We're concerned with health, we're concerned with security, and we're concerned with parnosa. This is Yaakov's tefillah. But what was Yaakov's tefillah? How did he structure the tefillah? What formula did he use that this tefillah should be successful? He's asking Hashem to protect him in these three things. And he says, if you'll do this for me, Hashem then can judge if I won't serve him with all my power. And he even goes further and he says, I will be hineni mekabel ola me'ato shokel yisborach hamarachim yiali lelukim v'yisnaik imi b'midas hadin. That Hashem, in his great mercy, could I want him to act with me with din, not with mercy. Judge me according to strict judgment rather than mercy. So Yaakov Avinu is saying that I'm afraid that if I have problems with security and problems with parnosa, and problems with sickness, I'm afraid it's going to interfere with my ability to serve Hashem with all my power. So I ask you, Hashem, protect me from these problems so that I should be able to serve you properly on the highest level. And that's really a formula for a very unique and powerful and effective type of a tefillah. Because we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, listen, you know, I need these things. I need security, I need protection, I need health, and I need parnosa. But I know that ultimately, you want to reward me. You want to do good for me. You want to do chesed, that's why you created me. And I know that you want to do chesed to me when I deserve it, because that's the way I earned it. It's true, it's real, I deserve it more, I'll appreciate it more. It's a greater chesed when you give me that which I deserve, rather than just throw me something which I really didn't earn. So help me to protect me from these things so they shouldn't interfere with my proper service of you, so I'll be able to serve you better. And your purpose in creating me to be able, that I should be able to deserve good and then to bestow the good on me, should be able to be fulfilled. In other words, so we use our spiritual growth and our spiritual station in life as a leverage and say, Hashem, please take care of me in the physical realms, in the parnosa and in the health and in the security, because that way I won't be distracted from your service. I'll be able to learn Torah better, I'll be able to daven better, I'll be able to do mitzvahs better, and that's a formula for success. So a key formula in tefillah for success in the main issues of our lives that are so critical to us today, including the financial, including the health, and including the security, is to ask Hashem, say, if we worry too much, if I'm going to be afflicted too much in these areas, I'm not going to be able to do the mitzvahs properly. I'm not going to be able to concentrate on my learning. I'm not going to be able to serve Hashem b'kol koichi with all of my power. Therefore, I ask you to do these things for me so that I should be able to return to you. And that seems to be a way, you know. So instead of just asking, please give me parnosa and please health and please security, if we structure it as part of a request to the spiritual benefits of a life without these problems, the ability to concentrate and focus on that which we're supposed to do when these problems have gone away, then that is a gift and an opportunity to be able to achieve many things in our tefillah. We see Yaakov Avinu use such a tefillah, and it seems to be a potent formula for achieving the types of answers that we would like in our tefillahs. I thought also to discuss this evening for a few moments some advice from Chazal that is, some of it is general to general success in life and deals with all of these issues, some of it more specifically dealing with the economic issues. But I'm sure that one of the things that's foremost in most of our minds today is the fact that we live in a world that, whereas 6 months ago or a year ago seemed to be riding high financially, today, like, people just don't know. Even there are those that don't have anymore, and there are those that have today but don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So I thought that some of this advice might be very pertinent today, and I'd like to share it with you. And I'm told that if you just click beneath this on our website, you'll find it is entitled 10 Ways to Be Financially Successful. based on the directives of Chazal. So I'd like to share some of these points with everyone this evening. Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Keser Rosh that besides the fact that Chazal tell us that if you give Meiser 10% of your earnings, that Aser B'Shvil Sitishasher, person will become wealthy eventually, and the other drosha that Chazal make, Asher Shaloi Tischasa, you won't be lacking anything. But he says that he heard from his Rebbe, the Vilna Goin, that anyone who is meticulous in giving this Meiser is assured that he will not suffer any damage. Very important. Today we worry about these things. And maybe now, more than ever before, you know, some people say it's easier to give Meiser today. Because when we have staggering wealth, sometimes the Meiser checks are too big for us to write. You know, like, I can't write a check like that. But when the wealth is a little more modest, as it may be today, the check will be even more modest, and then it may not be so difficult to write. So now is certainly the time to get into it, and it has the haftocha of riches, it has the haftocha of not missing it, and it also seems to have a haftocha from the goyin that a person will be protected from damage. And he even gives a krechts, and he says, if only all of Klal Yisrael would give Maisa, then they would, the posuk would be mekuyim efes lo yielecho evyoin, there would not be any more poor people amongst us. We know that this is such a surety that if one gives Maisa, one gets rich, that one is even permitted to test Hashem. Posuk says, Uchonuni no bozois, test me, give the Maisa, and you will certainly become rich. The riches don't necessarily have to happen immediately, but in due time, a person will certainly gain. And we hear stories from everybody how they gave and they got and they never missed it. The other drosha is that immediately you'll never miss it. You'll never be lacking what you give, and eventually it will bring to riches. So this is something that's good advice. There's forum written about it. I think we have some of them that are available on the website. There are many books that are published about this. Something worthy of taking very seriously, especially in difficult times like we have today. It does seem from Chazal that the best format for giving Maisa is to dedicate that money directly to people who study and learn Torah. Because the Maisa that we give today with money is really a takeoff on the Maisa in the Beis HaMikdosh. And there what happened was that Shevet Levi didn't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have a piece of the land. But everybody worked their land and gave 10% to Levi, which sort of brought them a chelik in Eretz Yisrael as well. They worked in the Beis Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdosh. We worked the fields. We gave them 10% so that they have their chelik, their sustenance from there. And so therefore today too, the Amelei Torah, the people who study and teach Torah there, like the Levim in the Beis HaMikdosh, and that's the appropriate assignment. The money should be assigned there. It's preferable for a person to have a special account and so forth. Chazal tell us, and this is the subject of what we discuss here, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu grants special protection and assistance, kindness and mercy to those who put their absolute trust in Him. Bitochem Bashem is a schus that a person who puts his trust in Hashem will not be disappointed. The Miri says, Habotech Bashem ein teicheles shelo nichsevo. One who trusts Hashem, his hope will never be disappointed. This is also a very important idea. This is really why we're learning this whole Chovos HaLevavos, to develop this type of trust in Hashem. Now, it's interesting. There was a machlekes, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, they say, and the Rashash, about whether bitochen works on luxury as well. Is bitochen only something that applies to the necessities of life, protection from evil and parnosa and, you know, getting the needy, the things that we're needy of? Or does it even apply to luxury? Person says, look, I'm going to get this luxurious car. I trust Hashem's going to give it to me. I have no doubt. I rely on Him completely. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta was the advocate of the position that it works. The Rashash had a different opinion. He felt it wasn't appropriate. So Rabbi Yisrael set out to prove to the Rashash that he was right. Interesting story. I don't know, you know, what it really means, but this is what they say. He said he had bitochen that he's going to have a gold watch. Real bitochen, a real gold watch, that's what he's working on. It seems there was a captain of a ship, and the ship was in danger, and there was a terrible storm, and the captain was afraid he's going to lose the whole ship and the passengers. He goes up on the deck, and he says to the Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, if you cause this storm to stop, I'll take my gold watch and deliver it to the rabbi in the next port that we dock. And sure enough, the sea calmed down, everything was fine. They get to the next port. The captain searches out the rabbi. He finds this Rashash, and he says, I have a gift for you, a gold watch. So he says, no, it belongs to Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. Please deliver it to him. You know, so that's the story. Anyway, be that as it may. We all know that bitochen is a serious thing. It's not a joke. I have bitochen, I sing bitochen, I play bitochen. It's really, and again from Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, the famous story, the guy said he needed 10,000 ruble. He said, Rabbi Yisrael said, have bitochen, buy a lottery ticket. He bought the lottery ticket. He said he had bitochen. He didn't win. Comes to Rabbi Yisrael with a tiner. Rabbi Yisrael says, you still have bitochen 100%? He says, yeah, 100%, I'm going to win. He says, will you sell me the ticket for half price? He says, yeah, sure. You know, 5,000 is better than nothing. He says, you see, if you had real bitochen, you would never have done it. It can't be a joke. It has to be serious. Another thing, a person who gives tzedakah on the condition of results is considered a tzaddik gomor. If I say, "Noisin tzela l'tzedakah al menas sheyichye bni," is a tzaddik gomor. So if one gives tzedakah and says, I'm giving it for this purpose, he's considered completely righteous, because Chazal explained his intention is to give the tzedakah, and the condition is something that he just liked to get a little bit on the side. In other words, I really want to give the tzedakah anyway. I just want to benefit from it, that my son should be okay, this should happen, that should happen. That's fine. So when we give tzedakah, there's nothing wrong. I'm giving this for this purpose. I'm giving this so that this should happen. I'm giving this so I should be duly rewarded. And we've seen so many times when people have done this that the rewards and the results were just amazing. We should never underestimate the power of tefillah. We should realize that a very powerful eitzah is to be mispalel to daven for somebody else who's in the same situation. If I have a financial need, and my friend does, and I daven for him, Chazal promised us, hu ne'ne tchila, the one who davened for someone else will even be answered first. So it's a very powerful schus. I imagine what it has to do with is the fact that I'm so needy, and yet I could focus my heartfelt tefillah on my friend. But I need it. I'm desperate. I'm thinking about your need. That's a schus, to be so sensitive, despite one's own personal need, that Hashem considers a schus, and such a person then is going to be, will even be answered first. As we mentioned at the beginning of the Chovos HaLevavos, it's important to recall and review that we have to be very careful about Al Tiftachu B'Nedivim, that the trust has to be placed completely in Hashem. One of the problems, certainly, that our generation has faced is that as we succeeded, we tended to put the focus in the wrong place. We looked at our stock portfolio as the product of human wisdom, doing a lot of homework, having good financial advisors, having a good sense of, you know, well, what's going to work and what's not, a lot of research, reading the Wall Street Journal, and you know, and following the most forward-thinking market strategies. And the reality is that it's nothing. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to the degree that we rely on our wisdom, on our insight, on our acumen, on our MBAs, on anything else, it's to that degree HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, let's see how you fare that way, and you won't fare well. So that's also very important to rely on anyone other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely, totally, and directly. It's another thing Chazal tells us, which I think is also very important. person has to be careful about relying on his own tefillah. Oh, I davened good. I davened good today. I davened good. So, oh, you davened good. Yeah, therefore, I'm sure he's going to answer me. So the Gemara says, that's mazkir navi noisev shel odom. That causes an awareness, a remembrance of a person's shortcomings. The sultan looks and says, ah, he thinks he's such a tzaddik? Let's review and see all the things he's done between Yom Kippur and now, and let's see if he's really deserving. Nobody wants any interim reviews. We're very happy with the one review a year on Yom Kippur, when we're in the right mood, when we're fasting, when there's a special schus that the day is mechaper. We're not interested in evoking reviews, interim reviews on our account. And by a person saying, oh, I davened well, I'm relying on my tefillah, it's mazkir navalesef shalodom, and it can cause difficulty. However, I believe there's a way around that. According to that, we would be allowed to rely on the prayers of young children. They have no sins. There's no mazkir navalesef shalodom. Relying on his tefillah. Go ahead, see what's wrong with him. Nothing. And I'm fond of telling a story that happened when we lived in Los Angeles. And it was a morning I woke up, and it was, to me, a dismal day. It was the end of the year, the end of December, and I needed to put together $50,000 that day, and I had no clue of anything. But I had just learned this Gemara about Mazkir Navanes Shalodim the day before, and I decided, I'm going to get my children to daven. Got my little kids, they were young, around the table. And I remember it was 7:30 in the morning before they went to school. We said, Shama, I said, today I need $50,000. I remember the little kids, saying Tilim. We said a couple of Kapitlach. And I walked out and I said, hey, I can't rely on my tefillahs, but I dare the Sultan to start up with these little kids like they did nothing wrong. And sure enough, you can't imagine how that day, by 1 o'clock, everything came together. A Yerusha that we never expected. Somebody left us money. A thing from here. I had to go here. I picked up. In a few hours, I had that whole package in a way that's just thinking about it, reminds me of Nisim Gluyim. So an Eitzah would be in these times, if we want to strengthen our confidence in our tefillahs, and we want to strengthen our bitochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should get our children involved in tefillah. First of all, be very helpful for them, that they should do a tefillah which is meaningful for them. There's when they pray for their parents and they pray for the well-being of the family and certainly for the parnosa of the family, this is something that they can relate to. And of course, be sure that when you see benefits from their tefillahs, and you will, and if you don't see, look again, because undoubtedly there will be some benefits there. Tefillah is a machzah, every tefillah accomplishes something, and certainly the tefillahs of children, share with them the benefits. Let them know. Come home and tell them, you know what happened today after your tefillahs? Wow! First of all, it'll encourage you to do it again, and it'll work better and continue to go better and better, and it'll encourage them to be involved in tefillah, because this is something that's real and something that works. Same thing applies in relying on one's bitochen. Many people say, oh, I have bitochen, I'm not worried about anything. So not to discuss the fact that sometimes we're fooling ourselves. We say we have bitochen, but I would sell the bitochen for half price, which means I don't have it, like Rabbi Yisrael with the ticket. But besides that, I even if I have it, I have such bitochen, I know it's going to work. I know it's going to give it to me. The Vilna Goyin in Avnei Eliyahu in the Sidur HaGro points out, he says in the Shmoneh Esrei, we say, Kikel Shemea Tfilois V'Sachanunim Oto. And Tfilois, he learns that refers to he says, the Sherish is from Re'oi Ponecho Loi Pilolti. Yaakov said to Yosef, he said, I never allowed myself to think optimistically that I'd ever see you again. Pilel is like an optimistic thought, like a bitochen, like a trust. So he says, if you have tefillah, trust, what do you need tachanunim? Why do you have to beg Hashem? Tefillah, there's no need for tachanunim. There's no need to beg. I'm trusting. You beg when you... Chinun means I don't deserve it. Bitochan means I'm trusting you're going to give it to me, so why do I have to keep begging? Stop begging already. Trust. So the Goyin says an amazing thing here. He says, even at the spitz, at the highest level of bitochan, we have to keep begging Hashem. Because he says, if we stop begging Hashem, then we start to rely on our own bitochan rather than on Hashem's kindness and mercy. In other words, I got bitochan. Oh, you know why I'm going to get through this? Because I got bitochan. It's my bitochan. It's not your bitochan that's going to take you through. It's the Rabbeinu Shalom's chesed. The line is very thin. Just like the line between a human being and Hashem, if we have a shliach, we can think that, oh, the human being, we have to draw that line very carefully. So too with our own bitochan, the line between trusting in my trust and trusting in Hashem's kindness. Bitochan is trusting in Hashem's kindness and keeping the focus on His chesed, His kindness, His mercy, rather than the power of my bitochan. That's something that the Goyin points out is very important. You have to kikel shemir tfilois, and even though there's tfilois and there's bitochan, but there has to be constant tachanunim, 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 because only then are we truly relying on Hashem's kindness and nothing else. The Chofetz Chaim says something else that's also very important. In a comment in Avas Chesed, and in a few places, he seems to say that, he seems to make fun of people who look for skulois for parnosa. Find this skula, that skula, another skula. He says, Chazal promised us a formula for success. So what are you looking to the skulois when you can have the actual thing itself? And he says, if a person is meticulous not to speak Lashon Hara, then he has a havtocha that promises him that he will be blessed in his financial success and in every means of brocha more than any skula that he could possibly have. So it's also something, the zihirus in Lashon Hara, the zihirus in mitzvahs, those things that we do are also very critical. Sometimes we're looking for shortcuts. Skula for this, I'll say this parsha, I'll say that parsha. There's a very serious issue of doing that which Hashem says, guarding from Lashon Hara. It's a haftocha, not just a skula, but a haftocha to be protected from all financial difficulties and so forth. Okay, that's some ideas. Just one more point, and this is a suggestion. Not can't really prove it, but there are two types of skulas that people. There are many, but there's two types of skulas that I'd like to focus on for a moment that people talk about for parnosa. One is there are people that say, and they say even from a cloth every day, the Parshas Akteiros. Seems that Parshas Akteiros is a skula for parnosa. That's what it seems. If you notice in some of the shuls, they have a new thing. They print up, they have a sefer writing on a cloth, and the whole Parshas Akteiros, I see people stand in the back of the shul, you know, and say it every day. There's another skula, and that's Parshas Hamon. Parshas Hamon, especially on the Yom HaShlishi of Parshas Vayishlach, Parshas B'Shalach, to say that Parshas Hamon, the whole Parshas Hamon came, that's also a skula for Parnosa. A personal story, and then a He'ora, which may or may not be valid, but I bring it to your attention to share, at least to stimulate thinking. Once in appreciation for a donor who gave us significant dollars, we had a sefer write a Pitam Akteiros, a Parshas Akteiros, on a cloth and put it in a very beautiful case and give it as a gift. And it wasn't too long after, very shortly after, that I heard that this individual had, went bankrupt, but yeah, I think it was bankruptcy too, but certainly close to it, devastating financial problems. So I wondered, I wasn't sure whether I caused it by sending it, because maybe you shouldn't have said it, Or maybe I caused it by sending it and he had it and he didn't say it. So I wasn't sure exactly what happened. But it occurred to me that there's a difference, and based on what we said before, there's a difference between the Parshas HaKetores and the Parshas HaMot. The Parshas HaKetores does not inspire one to trust in Hashem that he's going to give Parnosa. It talks about Pitum HaKetores. It talks about the Keteres, HaTzipurin, HaChilbun, HaHuvinu, the different incenses, the different things that were used there in preparing this Keteres every day for the in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach. It's a skula, but a skula has to be appreciated that it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's not the Parsha, it's Hashem. The Parsha is a skula. If I rely on the Parsha rather than on the Noisein HaTorah, then I may be missing the point. The Parsha doesn't do it for me. And this Parsha of Pete Makdos doesn't even inspire me in Bitochen, because it doesn't even talk about Bitochen, it doesn't even talk about Parnosa. It's a skula. It's a mystical thing. So when we're dealing with a mystical skula, we can't lose sight of the fact that it all comes from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's where it comes from. It's him. The focus should not be on Pitum HaKetores. The focus should be on this is a skula that the Borei Olam will give me my parnosa. If one does not make that connection, but rather tends to rely on the saying of the Parshas HaKetores, it could be that it doesn't have that same effect. Not so Parshas HaMon, because Parshas HaMon directly inspires Bitochen. What's more inspiring to Bitochen than the realization that every day for 40 years in the Midbar, the Klal Yisrael received their sustenance at their doorstep? And on Friday, when they weren't allowed to go out on Shabbos to collect the mon, they got a lechem mishneh, lechem yomayim b'yom hashishi, because they couldn't go out on Shabbos. But not only that, the Gemara darshins from Psukim that there were three kitos in the Oichle Hamon. There were those that got it at the doorstep, there were those that had to go out a little bit further, and there were those that had to go far out. And it depended upon where they were holding in their ruchnis. The tzaddikim, they got it at the doorstep. They didn't have to go out. The beinanim, they had to go out a little bit. They couldn't. They weren't zeiche to a parnosa without any effort. They had to make a little. And those that that were not worthy at all, they had to go further out. They had to go far out to get there. So we see parnosim in Hashemayim every single day. I go to sleep at night. The cupboards are there. I wake up in the morning. There's enough. How much? No, that's one thing. But it says if a person took more, he had the right amount. You can't take. Each one has to take what he needs. That was the wrong pasuk. He takes what he needs. If he took more, he's going to have less. Whatever it is, it's going to be the right amount. And it's going to be whatever taste you want. All this is food from heaven, according to your desire, your menu. The only factor that, the only variable there is whether you have to get at your doorstep, you go out, or you go further out, because you sin that day. So it's an amazing thing how we see Parnosim and Hashemayim, each person individually, Shabbos. If you took more, if you took less, you had more. If you took more, you took less, and it stayed. It was enough. It didn't rot. It was always tasted what they wanted to taste. It's like an amazing life. 40 years in a midbar like that. That's truly a lesson in Bitochen. So that parsha, I would say, it's not just a skula. That parsha is an inspiration. On that parsha, you can't forget that it's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, because the whole parsha just says it clearly. On that note, maybe I'd like to conclude just with a little vort that I heard from my father-in-law, Zecharino Livrocha. You know, they asked the kasha, the posuk says, Vayancho, Vayarivecho, Vayachilcho es hamon. Hashem caused you pain, and he hungered you, and he fed you the mon. So some asked the question, if he fed us the mon, where was the hunger? Right? We had it, the manga assuaged the hunger. They weren't hungry. What's the Torah saying? You were hungry and he fed you mon. There was never any hunger. There was enough mon, enough food to eat. There was never hunger. So he wanted to say, based on that Gemara, I said like this. Every day, a person got his mon according to what he was worthy of. If he was a tzaddik, he got to the doorstep. If he sinned a little bit, he had to go further out. If he was a big sinner that day, he had to go way out. He says, what do you think the tzaddik, who sinned the day before, is going to do? He opens up the door, and he sees the mon is not there. He's not going out to collect with all the other sinners. He's going to fast that day. Have nothing to eat. That's vayancho vayarivecho vayachilcha zaman. The man brought fasting too, because since it was clearly evident who was what, where depending on where your man came to, the guy who didn't like where his man was coming that day and didn't want anyone to know what he had done the previous day would be fasting. That's how the man is connected with the fasting. No, it's an interesting vart. Anyway, that's the story. So Bez Hashem. This information again, and as always in everything, it's always good to review again and again and to implement Lamaisa. This is to be found on the website, I think, if you click right underneath here. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue in the Chavis Halavovois next time.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-1.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.